all across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Good day. I'm Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today here on Veterans Radio, and thanks for joining us. We've got some interesting stories for you. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or at the web, veteransradio.org, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.org. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. And finally, PuroClean. PuroClean is the paramedics of property damage. It provides water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold removal, biohazard cleanup. It also has a focus on veteran franchisees. You can learn more about them by going to puroclean.com. So this is a story about a Medal of Honor recipient from Vietnam that I think you'll find of interest. We always like telling these stories of these American heroes. So enjoy this one on Medal of Honor recipient Brian Thacker.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to The Deep Dive. We're diving into a story today. The story of First Lieutenant Brian Miles Thacker.
Wow.
So March 31st, 1971, actions that earned him the Medal of Honor.
Big day.
Yeah, big day for sure. And we got a whole collection of sources here. We really want to dig deep into, like, what happened that day, who Thacker was as a person, and the lasting impact of this, like, incredible valor.
The ripples.
The ripples, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I guess our mission is really to go kind of beyond just the basic details of, like, you know, here's what he did and here's why he got the Medal of Honor, but to really, like, zoom in on the specifics of what he faced, you know, the intensity of the situation and the courage he showed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for the listener, you know, we don't want to just read off a citation,
right?
We want to really, like, put you in the boots on the ground.
Yeah.
and really understand the human will that it took to not just survive that, but to thrive and be recognized in that way.
Yeah, so to, like, set the stage for all this, you know, let's start with just, like, Thacker's background.
Right? Yeah.
Seems like his journey to that remote fire base in Canton Province, like, really started way before that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, shaped by his upbringing and then the realities of the Vietnam War.
That's right. That's right. So he was the son of a career Air Force officer. So he kind of grew up in that military lifestyle, moving around a lot. Ended up graduating from Weber State College in Utah. And through the ROTC program, he was commissioned as a second lieutenant in 1969.
Okay.
And the thing that really stood out to me was just how quickly he rose in rank.
Yeah.
So by the fall of 1970, so just a little over a year after joining the Army, he was already a first lieutenant.
Wow. Yeah, that's quick.
That's great.
And the sources don't shy away from, like, why that happened. There's one quote, I think it really kind of sums it up.
Yeah.
It says, "The war in Vietnam was going through first and second lieutenants at a rapid rate."
Yeah.
Really makes you think about the impact on junior officers, you know, in that conflict.
Absolutely. And it was a sad reality, right? Like, the casualty rate among junior officers was so high that these leadership roles were opening up way faster than they would in peacetime. And I think, you know, thinking about that pressure that puts on the guys that are remaining.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it might have even contributed to Thacker's actions later on, you know, kind of that no choice but to lead mentality.
Right.
So after a tour in Germany, which, by the way, he described as like a time to kind of make all his, quote, second lieutenant mistakes.
That's good.
Yeah. He's transferred to Vietnam in late 1970.
All right. So now he's there. Relatively young first lieutenant. By early 71, he's leading a 6-man observation team stationed in Canton Province. So what were they doing there? What was their mission in that area?
So they were on a hilltop, and it was a very strategically critical position.
Okay.
They were there to support the ARVN artillery, the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, the South Vietnamese forces. And their job was basically to observe enemy activity, ID targets, and then direct that artillery fire onto the North Vietnamese Army units that were operating in the valley below.
Oh, wow.
Really dangerous job, but absolutely vital.
Like the eyes for the
I think
artillery.
it's on the target, yeah.
Okay, so then comes March 31st.
Yeah.
This wasn't just some, small firefight. This was a big coordinated offensive.
This was huge. Early morning hours, the North Vietnamese launch a huge offensive across a 60-mile front.
Oh, wow.
And unfortunately, Thacker's little hilltop position known as Firebase 6
Okay.
was right in the path of this attack.
Ooh, so they basically just woke up to like a huge
It
assault.
was overwhelming, yeah. Heavy machine guns, RPGs, satchel charges, mortars, recoilless rifles, like the whole everything they had.
Just like raining down on them.
It was an intense barrage. Like
Yep.
from the get-go, the enemy's intentions were clear. They wanted that fire base.
Take no prisoners, take the base type
So
thing.
exactly.
Right, so how long did the defense hold up?
It's not long. Very quickly, the NVA forces, they breached the perimeter, and then it just turned into brutal hand-to-hand combat.
Oh, wow.
So like just intense fighting from bunker to bunker, American and ARVN forces just desperately trying to hold their ground. And tragically, three of Thacker's five men were killed in this initial assault.
3 out of 5.
Yeah.
I mean, with those kind of losses, that intensity of attack, it must have just felt completely hopeless.
Would be easy to just give up in that moment, but Thacker didn't.
So what did he do?
He immediately tried to rally the remaining forces, called in air support, tried to do everything he could.
Wow.
It's incredible.
So even while they're getting just hammered, he's still trying to fight back, protect whoever's left.
Yeah, he took initiative. He called for air support, hoping to kind of disrupt the enemy advance and give his team a little bit of breathing room.
Did it work?
Well, two U.S. helicopters tried to come to their aid, but they were shot down. Yeah, it was a huge blow. Both helicopters were hit. And to make matters worse, the surviving crew members actually joined Thacker's team on the ground.
So now even more people to try and protect.
Exactly. The situation just became even more desperate.
So at this point, defenses are gone, heavy casualties, rescue attempts failing. I mean, what can you even do in that situation?
Thacker made the call to withdraw, to try and reach Firebase 6,
Okay.
which was 6 miles away,
6 miles.
6 miles through Enfe territory.
Oh, wow.
It was a risky move for sure, but staying put meant certain death.
Yeah, I mean, 6 miles, you're right. That's a tough call, but probably the right call. But I mean, that's where Thacker's actions go,
Yeah.
like way beyond, just doing your duty. He didn't just order the retreat. He stayed behind to cover them,
He
right?
did. He stayed there exposed, laying down fire so his men could escape.
Wow. I mean, talk about selfless.
Yeah, complete disregard for his own safety. That's what the Medal of Honor citation says. Bought precious time for his comrades to get out of that immediate kill zone.
So he's covering the retreat. But then he does something even more incredible.
Yeah.
He called in artillery fire on his own position.
It's hard to even fathom, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine making that decision. Like what went through his mind at that moment?
Later, he said, "The only coordinates that I could give the firing battery that were valid were the coordinates of my own position."
Wow.
So he knew what he was doing. He knew the risk. But he also knew it was the best way to disrupt the enemy, to buy his men more time.
So this wasn't just a tactical decision. It was almost like an acceptance, like, okay, I'm putting it all on the line here.
Yeah, it speaks to a deep sense of duty, the bonds he had with his men, he was willing to sacrifice himself for them.
And what happened next?
Well, with all the chaos of the artillery, Thacker got cut off from the rest of the friendly forces.
So he's alone now, behind enemy lines.
Wounded, exhausted, he managed to find cover in a bamboo thicket
And he just stayed there.
for 8 days.
8 days. With no food or water.
Nothing. He was completely alone, constantly having to hide. Listening for enemy patrols. He talked about hearing them signaling nearby. He even got strafed by friendly fire at one point.
Oh, wow. I mean, that takes incredible mental toughness to survive something like that.
Absolutely. Just imagine the willpower, the resilience. Every minute must have felt like an eternity.
So how did he finally get rescued?
Well, Firebase 6 was eventually recaptured by friendly forces.
Okay.
And after 8 days of hiding, Thacker, weak, dehydrated, emerged from that bamboo thicket.
Wow. What a moment that must have been.
Yeah, they got him medical attention right away. He was evacuated to a hospital in Japan to recover.
All right, so 2 years later, 1973, Brian Thacker receives the Medal of Honor.
Rightfully so. It's a testament to his courage, his leadership, his self-sacrifice.
What does the citation actually say?
While it highlights his conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity, it talks about his leadership, how he rallied the troops, directed airstrikes, artillery fire for hours under intense enemy fire. It mentions how he organized and directed the withdrawal, how he stayed behind to provide cover, and then that incredible decision to call artillery on his own position.
Yeah. It's not just about his bravery, but like you said, his leadership, the impact he had on everyone around him.
Absolutely. It says he was an inspiration to his comrades. His actions save lives.
You know, reading through these sources, it's amazing how aware Thacker was of the situation, even from the beginning.
Yeah.
He said, "We knew early on that we weren't going to be able to hold the firebase.
Wow.
We didn't have enough people or the right weaponry to fight off the attack, but they fought anyway."
For hours.
They held on as long as they could.
And he described how their perimeter just shrunk throughout the day under constant enemy pressure. He said, "Our little oval that we called the firebase just kept shrinking and shrinking throughout the day."
And then that 1.5 mile retreat through enemy territory. I mean, it's a miracle anyone made it out alive.
It really is. And that's where his leadership comes in, you know? Organizing that withdrawal, providing cover, making those tough decisions.
Yeah, and then that quote about calling in the artillery on himself. "The only coordinates that I could give the firing battery that were valid were the coordinates of my own position." It's so matter of fact, but so powerful.
It really shows the impossible situation he was in and the incredible courage it took to make that call.
And those 8 days hiding, constantly on alert, no food, no water, the fear of being discovered, the friendly fire incident.
It's hard to comprehend how he endured that. He talked about how he grew weaker each day, how even short distances felt like miles.
And then finally, emerging from that thicket, being found by U.S. troops.
Many of whom thought he was dead.
Yeah. It must have been like seeing a ghost.
And even then, the danger wasn't over. The extraction was delayed because the enemy was monitoring radio communications. And there was heavy anti-aircraft fire in the area.
So it wasn't until the next morning that he was finally evacuated.
But the important thing is, he learned later that everyone who withdrew with him made it to safety.
Everyone.
Everyone. His actions saved their lives.
It's crazy to think that while all this was happening, Thacker was nearing the end of his tour.
Yeah.
He was actually in his first week of graduate school back in the States when he got the news about the Medal of Honor.
Wow. From the jungles of Vietnam to the classroom. That must have been a wild transition.
And he received the medal from President Nixon on October 15th, 1973.
In a ceremony at the White House with 8 other recipients.
And even after all that, he continued to serve.
Yeah, he worked at the Tibor Rubin VA Medical Center for 26 years, retired in 2002. But even then, he stayed involved with veterans, Gold Star families, speaking to students, attending events.
It's amazing, really. And his alma mater, Weber State University, they created a scholarship in his name in 2019.
A fitting tribute.
Yeah. So the story of Brian Thacker, it's about more than just one man's actions on a single day. It's about courage, leadership, self-sacrifice.
It's about the human spirit's ability to endure, to overcome, even in the face of unimaginable adversity.
It makes you think, you know, when you consider what he went through, those split second decisions he had to make, the physical and mental toll of those 8 days in hiding. What does it tell us about courage, about the bonds forged in combat?
Those are big questions.
Big questions.
And I think it's worth thinking about those questions long after we're done with this deep dive.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it's worth checking out the stories of other Medal of Honor recipients.
Yeah.
And learning more about the Vietnam War and all the sacrifices that were made. There are countless stories out there of bravery and resilience that deserve to be remembered.
Absolutely.
So dive in, explore, and never forget the courage of those who served.
That's it for this deep dive. Until next time.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows
by visiting us at veteransradio.org. That's veteransradio.org. We would again want to thank our
National sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. Legal Help for Veterans, a veterans disability law firm and with a national practice before the VA, can help you on your claims and your appeals. It can be reached at legalhelpforveterans.com or 1-800-693-4800. And PuroClean, a leader in property emergency services. It's the paramedics of property damage, providing water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold and biohazard cleanups. You can reach them at PuroClean.com or 800-775-7876. We also want to thank our local sponsors. This would include the Charles S. Kettles Chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America, that's Chapter 310, VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423, the American Legion Irwin Preskin Post 46 in Ann Arbor as well, the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System, and certainly the National Vietnam Veterans of America Association. You can be a sponsor by going to veteransradio.org, clicking on the About Us and our sponsors, and help us out. Keep this program alive for the 21 and 22 years. Keep us going for another 20. Thank you.